Hi, it's Tony. On today's show, we'll see if Chuck Todd is smarter than Reginald the Monkey. We think he is, but yes, we'll see. And we'll talk hot stove baseball about Ohtani and Juan Soto with Mark Feinsand. But first, as you know, commerce.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's still available. Maybe I be considered the official EFDA, EFDA, Expanded Functions Dental Assistant of the Tony Kornheiser Show. Thanks for the hours of entertainment. Happy brushing, Esperanza Zepeda. She sent two crests, the kind that I like, the tartar control. She also sent a bunch of gummy bears. She sent Haribo gummy bears, and she sent the gummy bears made in America.
The Albanese,
the
right?
Albanese.
Nothing pairs with toothpaste better than gummies, right?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, there's a lot of ways we can begin today.
We ate the gummies.
Oh, how good were they?
Fantastic.
Yeah, that was a special flavor grouping of those gummies.
I could taste the mango at least twice a day for me.
Yeah, so wow. Good. I'm glad. Those were the Albanese. Yep. Those were really good. I could go back to the Monday night games. You know, there was a terrible loss for Miami. It's a bad loss for Green Bay. Terrible loss at home for Miami. This is unspeakably terrible. I mean, if you believe in Miami, you cannot believe in them today. Maybe you can, you know, after Sunday. You know, things change, but that was just a terrible loss. So I don't want to do that. I want to do two things that are more current. First is Draymond Green.
Ugh.
Draymond Green hit Yusuf Nurkic in the head last night and was tossed out of the game. And I think he's going to say it was an accident. I think he's going to say, I was just sort of swinging around. I didn't mean to hit him.
Certainly picks up speed.
He hit him in the head and knocked him down, and he was tossed out of the game. And, you know, there are certain people that just don't get the benefit of the doubt in physical altercations, and Draymond Green is at the top of the list. I mean, he's at the top of the list. I really like him as a player, but he's going out. And it's a question of how long is he going out for. And you, by the way, if you were Adam Silver and you wanted to do this, you could toss him for the rest of the year. You could.
Sure.
Because he's already been tossed this year. So you could toss him for the rest of the season. I think it'll be 20 games. I think it'll be something like 20 games. And I assume that we will lead with this tonight on the PTI show because Wilbon will be completely exercised about it.
Well, enjoy your four-minute break then.
Yeah, and he'll just talk and talk and talk, and I'll try and get some food. You know, I don't know.
A cheese platter for you.
I don't know what Draymond Green is going to say. If you looked at the highlights, if you looked when they showed the Warriors bench after it happened, like Klay Thompson just had that look like, oh,
not again.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, again?
Yeah.
This guy
the
again?
The chicken?
Yeah, so that's... I mean, that's what it looked like.
I mean, you're right. He will say, oh, no, I was just out of control. But it clearly looks,
And, you know, he does not get the Dylan Brooks doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. So we'll see what happens with that. Usually in basketball, if they're going to suspend somebody, they suspend them right before the next game. And I don't know if Golden State plays tonight. I don't know if there's a need to suspend him today or the next Golden State game. You can wait. You can deliberate. You can figure it out. If you're Adam Silver, you sit down in a room with Joe Dumars and a bunch of other people, maybe even the owner of the Golden State Warriors, Joe Lacob, and you say, okay, this is what
at the Clippers tomorrow.
So they have until tomorrow then. That's easy enough. What I want to get to now is something that has bothered me enormously in the last 24 hours. I had no, and it's local for me. It's local. It's Washington, D.C. for me. I had no inclination that this was going on, none whatsoever. That Ted Leonsis, who owns the Washington Wizards and the Washington Capitals and puts them on his television network, Monumental Sports Network, and puts other stuff on that as well, and is trying to buy the baseball team because you want programming on a television network. I had no idea he was playing footsie with the people in Virginia. I had no idea that he was working something out with the governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, who I assume they know each other for a while because they were both in the money business, you know, so I assume they know each other. I had no idea that this was going on until I read a Barry Svrluga column a day and a half ago or 2 days ago and a Washington Post news story that Ted Leonsis was going to move these teams, was certainly thinking of moving his two teams out of the downtown arena in Washington, D.C., and to something located in Virginia. It's very close to Washington, D.C., in Potomac Yards, but it's in Virginia. It's in Virginia. And then now there's a story today that Ted Leonsis is going to appear at a function tonight with Glenn Youngkin.
They already have the tents up.
The tents are up, which means he's going to announce.
Yeah.
Barring a last-minute Hail Mary from Muriel Bowser and the, you know, the Communist City Council of Washington, D.C., who votes, they vote against everything. They vote against everything in terms of sports expanding. They do. They don't want it. They don't want a football stadium. Now they're forced to offer $500 million worth of stuff to Ted Leonsis to stay at the Capital One Arena. But if you read the tea leaves, it just looks like if he shows up at this event with the governor of Virginia, they're not going to have this event if Leonsis isn't ready to move. And I was an English major, so words are important to me. This is villainy, V-I-L-L-A-I-N-Y, villainy on the part of Ted Leonsis to move these teams out of Washington, D.C. Last time I looked, the capital of the United States of America. It's villainy for a Georgetown grad. Anybody want to tell me where Georgetown in Virginia? I don't think so. I think Georgetown is in Washington, D.C. It's villainy. Don't tell me that there's a lot of money involved and there's profit involved. There's money involved where he is now. You know, if his teams were better, maybe they'd make more money. If his basketball team, which stinks to high heaven, was better, maybe they'd make more money. And I'm sure I can't do what I'm about to say, that if I were the mayor of Washington, I could not do this. But if I could, I would say to him, the moment he announced that he was going, his intention was to go to Virginia. And again, he's not going to Southern Virginia. You know, he's not going far away. It's in this greater metropolitan area. I don't want to pretend that it isn't. And you're going to say to me, well, what about the Giants and the Jets? Well, the Giants and the Jets moved. Yes, they moved to the Meadowlands, which is very, very close to New York City. But I don't think that they were in a position to put a new stadium in New York City. I think most of New York City was spoken for.
Yeah, it's a little tough.
I think it was spoken
to wedge it in, yes.
The Capital One Arena is apparently, I read, one of the older arenas in the NBA and the NHL, which surprised me because it just seems like it was built yesterday. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But if Leonsis moves these teams, I would put a padlock on the doors to the Capital One Arena, and I would say, go play at George Mason. Knock yourself out. You want Virginia? Go play in Virginia tonight. Take your teams to Virginia tonight. You got your ice time in Virginia, right? Got your practice ice time in Virginia? Put a couple of folding chairs there.
Now, we're sure this is for the two big teams and not just the esports franchise?
I don't know. I don't think it's the esports franchise. I think it's the
two
big
teams. We can hold on to that.
So now the main tenant would be Georgetown. They'd be the main tenant at the Capital One. That's what I would do. And I say this as someone who lives and has lived all my time in Washington, D.C., deliberately wanted to live in the capital of the United States.
So I think this is where it becomes not just a local story, and I think it's important to remind us where you were when this arena opened. This was 1997, so you saw the development of this.
I did. Abe Pollin was heroic.
The trickle-down effect as to what it did block by block to the surrounding areas. And you think about the food revitalization of this city and what it did to neighborhoods. And so you sort of have to break this down into business decision, where, of course, it's a lot of times easier to build a new house on a site than it is to try and renovate something that exists. And particularly now, if you use the Atlanta model and what you can put in terms of shopping and bars and restaurants in that immediate area. And again, they had wanted a stadium on this site many years ago for the football team. But you look at it, you have to break it down between business and the symbolic gesture as to what that site meant as a coming together point for the DMV and more specifically for DC, and really trying to shift the boundaries as to what would be traditionally black DC versus these other, outer bounds of white DC. And it's sad for me because I'm a young millennial, but you think about Gallery Place, you think about the Verizon Center, you think about this area, and it was one of the first places where you'd be going down by yourself on the metro, where you might go to a game by yourself, you might go see a concert, you might go see a wrestling event. And it's sad to see what it means when you have somebody who wants to leave that partnership, and it's
this
a reminder.
It came out of the blue.
It's a
didn't
reminder.
It?
Well, no, because he's always been saying for years that he had the worst mortgage ever. But it's a reminder that you can't sort of tie everything into a stadium solving all of sort of your local problems. This isn't just a COVID kept people from downtown. This seems like it was a long time in the making.
It's You know, I live in Washington, and I know it's not far away, but I want those teams in Washington.
Sure.
And I don't want them to say Washington, even though you can come back at me and you said, well, they said the New York Giants and the New York Jets. I know I have a flank exposed on that. I understand.
Well, no, think
that.
About every time there's a primetime football game and you get the flyover of the Capitals and Washington, and then you just sort of have to take a quick 1 mile walk from the metro to the stadium.
And the football team is not in Washington, D.C., but they're going to be back in Washington, D.C. If this happens, this mayor will understand that you have to put the football team here. The football and the baseball teams will be in Washington, D.C. There will be a new stadium at the RFK site. I believe that. I'm not saying that with authority. I'm saying that with conviction. There's a difference. I don't have any authority. I have nothing to do with that. But I think they'll both be there. And I will say this, and I'm not the first person to say this, that the crowds at basketball and hockey games, they're not close to the numbers of football and baseball games if a team is doing well. They're not close. They max out at about 17,000 or 18,000 or something like that. It's a third of a football thing. It's half of a baseball thing if those sports are going well. I don't know how much money you make selling hockey and basketball. I'm not certain of that. I'm really not. I am certain of football and baseball when it's good. I'm certain of that. So I don't know if I'm angered. I'm saddened. I do. I think it's villainous. I do. I mean, I never expected this. And you're saying, Michael, that there have been hints for years, and
I just think in terms of the mortgage line. But you think this is a statement that basically says the economic power of the general DMV is now Northern Virginia, which you've seen with tech, and you've seen Crystal City just up the road. But I hope you're not trying to catch a 7 p.m. regional flight out of DCA, because it might be a little harder to get to the airport.
Yeah,
I just feel like maybe, and this also is a DC resident, that before making a move like this, Leontes said, look, I want to stay here, but X, Y, and Z need to be done by this date or I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
This just feels, I mean, it's not
this
quite.
This feels fait accompli much quicker than you thought, yeah.
And it's not like sneaky. The Mayflower trucks, you know, in the middle of the night, but it's not far from that as far as I'm concerned.
Now, if I lived in Virginia, maybe I would feel differently. But I don't live in Virginia. I live in Washington, and I don't like this. I mean, I really don't like this. And I had no particular indication it was coming. And I always thought of him as a DC guy.
Yeah.
Right. But well, then
Georgetown.
You look at it.
Because Georgetown.
If you are the steward of these franchises and you look at basketball, you say basketball, you know, it's such a small in arena experience. It is primarily something that is, experienced through TV, but then also through the practice sites. And famously, they're not able to have their practice facilities at the same site as the actual
their practice
Verizon
site
Center itself.
Is in Washington.
It is in Washington. It's on the other side of the river.
And that's where the Mystics play.
But then you look at it with the hockey team, you might, I mean, how much data has that company, you know, compiled over the years as to here is where our core season ticket holder
probably
is
Virginia.
Coming from. And
they're probably coming
here's
from
how
Virginia.
We can serve that, you know.
Yeah.
One silver lining is that if this does go down like this, maybe Jingle Fest 2024 could use the Verizon Center. Be a nice venue.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll have, is it Feinstein or Chuck Todd? Chuck Todd is first.
Chuck
right?
Todd, yes.
Chuck Todd, when we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I read a note from our friend Michael Granberry. I first came across the music of Robbie Hecht when I heard his terrific cover of one of the better but lesser-known songs by the great Jackson Browne. It's Two of Me, Two of You, which appears on Jackson's 1993 album, I'm Alive. Then I discovered that Robbie has performed duets with several of my favorite artists and friends, including Liz Longley and Amy Spies, both of whom are musical alumna of the Tony Kornheiser Show. That made me pay closer attention to Robbie's music. And now, as far as I'm concerned, Robbie is the master of the duet. He released Two of Me, Two of You on a solo album about 2 years after recording a mesmerizing album of duets with Caroline Spence, titled fittingly Two People. One of my favorites, Robbie now makes his home in Nashville, as does Caroline. His 2019 album, Mint Condition, was hailed by Rolling Stone as a gorgeous reflection on finding peace amid upheaval. They are singing together, Robbie Hecht and Caroline Spence, on a night together. It's beautiful, but Michael Granberry never fails us. He never fails us. You know, and they play in Chuck Todd, and I should say this because they pay me to say it. This week's picks with Chuck Todd and Reginald the Monkey are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Chuck won last week. He was 4-3. He had the big winner on Monday night, the Dallas. Was it Monday night or Sunday? It was Sunday.
That was Sunday,
had the
yes.
big winner save the day with Dallas. He's now 55-41-2, which is the best record of anybody, including Simeon's, who picked for us. So if you're betting with Chuck Todd, you're making money. You should feel very good about that, Chuck.
Well, I do. I got a little trash talking here. So Carville and I have plenty of friends in common,
right?
You might imagine. And one of our political science friend of ours, UMass, he emails me and he said, hey, and he had done this survey and I'd written a column about it. And he goes, I sent Carville this. And Carville... And he asked him, he was taunting Carville about the fact, he goes, isn't Chuck beating you this year in the picks? And he goes, no, for second year in a row, no one close to the Cajun.
That's not true. That's just not
right.
true.
And he goes, I was 19-1 on Kornheiser last week.
He was
Chuck Todd, no catch me.
He was 6-1.
That's what he wrote.
Well, it
he
was 6-1.
But he has these triple plays,
yes.
the quadruple plays.
No, he had one double play.
Well, he's counting. He's
he
counting
had one double play.
19-1 is what he tells me. I didn't know.
What?
He
well, he's counting the Heisman Trophy winner that he took at 12-1 odds.
Well, that's ridiculous.
He's getting 12 points for that. Look
no,
at this. He's taking this way
no, that's
serious.
As the commissioner. No,
right.
no, he was 6-1 though. He had a great
yeah,
week.
Yeah, it was a terrific week.
No doubt. Yeah, but it's like 19-1. All right. Anyway, so every one of my wins. Triple play.
All right, here we go. We start with a couple of Saturday games because now the college football is off the board. The NFL goes to Saturday. We start with Minnesota +3.5 at Cincinnati. Minnesota has dumped Josh Dobbs because Josh Dobbs was a great story for 2 weeks and then came back to earth. Cincinnati, wow. I thought they were absolutely cooked without Joe Burrow, but they've won a couple of times. It's a Saturday game. If you like Minnesota, you get 3.5.
So I don't know. I don't love Minnesota here, but this feels like 3.5 is too much for Jake Brown. Right? That's a lot. Flores, Brian Flores took over the defense for Minnesota. I mean, you shut out any NFL team, and that's a big deal. I mean, they
3-0. It's the worst game ever.
It was absolutely.
Worst indoor game ever.
What? Indoors, too. Yeah. Right. To think weather didn't cause that. Guess just Vegas hangovers caused that or something. I'm going to take the hook. I'm going to take 3.5. I'm going to take Minnesota.
Okay. The next
and
Saturday.
It's more of just sort of buying low or buying, selling high on the Bengals.
The next game is also a Saturday game. Denver is at Detroit. Detroit is not in good shape. They're not in good shape. They had to manufacture a win a couple of weeks ago, and other than that, they lose. They've lost 3 out of 4, I believe, and it could have been 4 out of 4. Denver is getting 5. Denver has turned its season around. Denver is, it's not even the same team remotely that it was at 0-3 when Miami rolled it for 70 points. If you like Denver, indoors in Detroit, and Detroit probably needs this game desperately. You get 5.
Well, Detroit doesn't need this game as badly as they would have had the Packers won.
That's right.
Because I think now the division, I mean, despite this swoon, and they had built such a lead in the division that, this would have been a two, that this was, it could have been down to a 2-game lead, but now it's 3. So I just don't think Denver can keep up scoring-wise. When Detroit's at home, they put on a lot of points. I know they can give up a lot of points. You think Russell Wilson can score 28 points?
Hasn't.
Hasn't. And that's where I'm going to struggle there. I'm going to take Detroit.
Okay.
And give them.
Tampa Bay, which is in first place in the worst division in all of sports, Tampa Bay is getting 3.5 at Green Bay. Green Bay, that's a bad loss. The Giants stink. That's a bad loss, but it's on the road, so maybe you can excuse it, although it's just a bad loss. Jordan Love was okay. Wasn't bad, but he wasn't very good either. Tampa Bay had a miracle win the other day. Tampa Bay 3.5, if you like that number.
All I keep thinking is the great line from Bill Parcells, "You are what your record says you are."
Yeah.
And the Packers are 6-7.
Yeah.
And they, you know what? They played like a 6-7 team against the Giants. You're like,
terrible.
Couple quarters, they're great. Couple quarters, they're terrible.
Not as bad as Miami. That's the the worst loss of the year. That's the worst loss of the year.
But. No doubt. I know I've done this with you before, but anytime the Packers and the Buccaneers play, I just think of Pete Axone because he one time nicknamed this the Bay of Pigs.
Yes, the Bay of Pigs.
Back in the 80s when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were a Midwestern city and in the NFC Central. For whatever reason, and the Packers and the Buccaneers get to play every year. Let's just say back in the 80s, this was a game that was always at 1 o'clock and was only in 2 markets.
Yeah.
Because the Packers are this zigzaggy, give me them and to lay the points here.
All right. Here is your worst nightmare. Washington's back on the schedule. Yeah. You keep losing whenever you bet for them. Whenever you bet against them, you lose no matter what happens. They're getting 7 at the L.A. Rams. The L.A. Rams have sort of resuscitated themselves a little bit. They're in the NFC playoff picture. Washington is not. Washington getting 7, going across the country.
If you're the Eagles or Cowboys and you end up the 2 seed or the 3 seed, actually I think in this case you could You want to see the Rams in that first playoff game?
No.
You want to see a team that won a Super Bowl?
No.
You want to see McVay? They feel like that team that you're like, they're going to limp in the playoffs, and if they ended up suddenly being the team in the NFC title game, it wouldn't shock me. Give me the Rams. I can't imagine Washington's going to do well here. And unlike every other team that goes to L.A., do you think they'll have the crowd showing up for them?
No.
You think Washington travels for this game?
No. Yeah. No, nobody thinks that. No. Nobody will be at that game. All right.
No.
Here's a good game. Dallas at Buffalo. Dallas coming off a great win. Buffalo coming off a great win, actually. Both teams. Buffalo needs it more. This is Buffalo's last really tough game, I believe. Or maybe not. No, because they have the Dolphins twice. or they, at least once. They have the Dolphins at least once. This is a game that people are going to watch. Dallas plus 2.5. Mm-hmm. That surprises me a little because of the way Dallas beat Philadelphia. It surprises me. Dallas plus 2.5 at Buffalo.
Isn't this the same thing like the week of San Francisco going to Philadelphia and they were favored and you're just going, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Like, I get Dallas won their big game. They're going to have a small letdown. Buffalo has to win, right? I understand the theory as to why we're in this spot. By the way, did you fall into the rabbit hole on Sean McDermott and that whole bizarre?
No,
story?
No, I've never said a word about it on the air. No, I've never said a word about it. Nope.
Mm-mm. All right. Am I not to be bringing it up?
I'm no, sorry. You can bring it up. You can say
what. Just weird.
Yeah, and this happened 4 years ago, kids.
So well, what do you make of the fact that it's coming out now?
I don't. I can only conclude that there is someone who doesn't like Sean McDermott and decided to publicize this. I because if it was done by the team, then it would be the precursor to letting him go.
I have no idea whether he's the source of the story or not.
No, I don't know.
But Ken Dorsey was fired midseason, and well, 2 weeks later, this story shows up.
Okay.
I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying this is what happens when you start firing people.
Yeah.
Maybe they start talking on that front. Give me the. I'm not gonna bet against the odds, people on this one. All the money's going to Buffalo. I'm not getting in front of that freight train. Give me the Bills.
Okay. The Baltimore Ravens, who are currently the number one seed in the AFC, are at Jacksonville, a team that could have been the number one seed in the AFC. Jacksonville's quarterback played last week. This is a Sunday night game, I believe. This is Jacksonville's one of those teams you can't trust, but you can't trust Baltimore either.
Exactly what I was thinking.
You can't trust Baltimore either. You can't. Lamar Jackson may, in fact, be a singular talent. He gets hurt, and then sometimes late in games, he fumbles or he gets picked, and something happens, and you go, how did that happen? So I don't know. Baltimore is the 3.5-point favorite on the road.
You cannot picture them winning three straight in the playoffs, can you?
No, I cannot.
Yeah, I can't either.
I can picture Kansas City, but I cannot picture them.
No. Yeah, I mean, that Rams-Ravens game was fun. I enjoyed watching it.
Yep.
Nothing like a walk-off punt, right? And yet, how did they end up in that situation? Right? It just doesn't feel like that game ever should have been that way.
Right.
But I'm with you. I don't trust Jacksonville, and I in theory, Baltimore is better on offense and defense than Jacksonville, just across the board.
That's right.
If they can put the game together. Give me the Ravens.
Okay. And one last game. Philadelphia, their schedule, they had four games in a row that were simply brutal. Going 2-2 in those games is not bad. It's not. It's not the doom for the Philadelphia Eagles. They've been a good team for 2 years. They proved it over 2 years. They are at Seattle. This is a Monday night game. So the travel, they're not going to be on a body clock situation that necessarily hurts them. I don't know what Seattle has left. Philadelphia is a 4-point favorite on the road.
Yeah, I think this is a shorter line than I would expect it, and it's simply because they've lost two in a row.
Yes.
But Seattle seems beaten up. Seattle seems like a team that's running out of gas.
That's what I think.
And not only that, the travel is mitigated by the extra day of rest, which I bet you the Eagles really kind of need it. One more day in the ice bath is probably a good idea. Give me the Eagles on the road.
Yeah, I would do that too. I would do that too. Those are the two games you want to see. Well, actually, the last three you want to see: Dallas, Buffalo, Baltimore, Jacksonville, Philadelphia, Seattle. Yeah, you want to see all of those games. They're good games.
At this point, and with is it 14 teams, 6-7, 7-6, something
it's
like that.
Tremendous amount of teams in that little valley, and that's actually. That's what makes the 17-game schedule pretty good this year. Because we're going to...
It keeps everybody in it. As a Packer fan, I was out of it 3 weeks ago, right? I thought, no way, they're 3-6. This is not going to happen. Well, and they went 3-4, and you're like,
all you have to know about football this year is the New York Giants, who stink, are in the playoff picture. They're one game out.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
I said this to Nigel. I'm sorry. Monday night, because I'm such a Packer fan, every time they showed that agent, that like swingers wannabe, they kept showing that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know which game you watched of the two games.
I went back and forth. I did.
Yeah. They kept showing the agent with the parents, which
with
I think
Tommy
would
DeVito.
Have been fantastic if you weren't the team playing them. Like, we just found ourselves going, man, I wish that guy like to knock the hat off of that swingers wannabe, you know, type of thing. You know, it really just sort of, and yet I'm sure it was like, if you didn't care about the game, you're like, oh, give me more of that guy, you know. DeVito it is swing town pal.
That was amazing. Thank you, Chuck. Talk to you.
All right. Fond to you. See you.
Yeah. Chuck Todd, boys and girls. If we gave you Chuck Todd, it'd be more than enough, but we give you a monkey.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attache.
Sing along, everybody.
Nigel's going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Reginald's got the
vice, I too.
Sometimes he throws his
poo, poo, poo.
And he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
Now, Reginald had a tough week. He had gone 2 or 3 weeks in a row going 2-1, then he went 1-2. He's 17-24-1.
Still,
he's losing.
He is losing.
He's the only person. Well, he's not a person.
Yeah, the only simian.
He's the only prognosticator who is losing for us. The only one.
Still a path to Mount 500,
yes, sure.
But he's got to turn it around now.
Sure.
And of course, I mean, he's always so distracted. I went down to the National Zoo, and they were in the midst of their final dress rehearsal for the performance of the National Zoo likes to put on every year, the production of A Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol.
It's a wonderful cast. Gabe Kaplan is Bob Cratchit, Melissa McCarthy as the Ghost of Christmas Past, Elliot Gould as Ebenezer Scrooge. So,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy, what happened to her?
She's still
out
there.
Wasn't she in every movie? Wasn't she funny?
Yeah, yeah, she's still funny.
Wasn't she funny?
But she did one of those runs where she made like 14 movies in two years.
Yeah, and now nothing.
Nah, we haven't seen anything for a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it took time. And by the way, the production of this, I believe, will be available on News Channel 8 this weekend.
That's
so
great to know.
Make sure everyone watches
that.
Great
to know.
So the first match we gave Reginald was Denver getting 5 at Detroit. He showed me a lovely photograph of him skydiving with Carl Mecklenburg, Jason Elam, and Steve Atwater. That tells me he's got ties to the Denver area, and he will take the Broncos with the 5.
Okay.
Next match we gave him was the Washington football team getting 7 on the road at the Rams. And he showed me a picture of him eating at, I believe it's called Vines, or The Vines, in Los Angeles. Roman Gabriel, Steve Sachs, and Jack Youngblood.
He's going to take the Rams.
He's going to take the Rams.
I don't know how you can take Washington in this situation.
I just don't.
I really,
yeah, you really
I don't.
Can't. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll win, but it feels like it's done.
It does. It certainly does.
Feels like it's done for them, right?
Yes. Well, wasn't that the Montez Sweat said about, you know, being with the Bears? Yeah, my old team, yeah. They were already looking to the offseason. That was weeks ago, so, yeah. And the final match we gave him was Dallas getting 2.5 at the Bills. And this was just a lovely photograph of Reginald in the director's chair for the episode of Who Shot J.R. Ewing in that wonderful series, Dallas. So, tells me he's got ties to the Cowboys.
What's his name? Patrick Duffy?
Patrick Duffy in that show as
well. Patrick Duffy was in that show.
Yes.
Right. Wasn't he the star?
I thought...
Larry Hagman.
Larry Hagman was
with
J.R.
And Patrick Duffy, weren't they the stars?
I believe they were.
You know? Okay.
It's been a while.
All right. That's great. This week's picks with Chuck Todd and Reginald the Monkey have been brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. And we will be back with Mark Feinstein. We're going to talk about Ohtani. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Once again, our thanks to Michael Granberry for sending us this music from Robbie Hecht and Caroline Spence. Caroline Spence takes the lead on this duet. This is called I'll Keep You. Really. Michael, if people like Robbie Hecht and Caroline Spence want to send us their original music, or at least give us permission to play their original music, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com. And holidays are just around the corner.
What do we got?
We still have a TK Frost, I believe, available at johnnyo.com. Pick up your holiday sweaters, some button downs.
In honor of frost delay at Columbia Golf Course every single week, every single day. It's always frost delay.
No carts.
You know how I know that it's frost delay? Because I look out the window at 6:30 and there's a load of ice on my car window. And I know it's frost delay. This plays in Mark Finesand, and we have talked about Shohei Ohtani with Jeff Passan, and now we're going to talk about it with Mark Finesand. The details of Ohtani's contract, many of them have come out. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells me a couple of things. It tells me that the Dodgers really wanted this guy. It tells me that Ohtani really wanted the Dodgers, and that he really wanted the Dodgers to be able to sign another player during his 10 years there rather than taking up, likely what would have been 25% of their payroll if he was actually counting $70 million against the books every year in terms of the CBT. Now with all the deferrals, which, I mean, they're staggering. 680 of the 700 million are being deferred for 10 years. But with those deferrals, it brings the present day value of the contract down to $460 million over 10 years, which means the Dodgers only take a $46 million hit on the luxury tax, each year. And that will enable them to go out and, you know, spend an additional $25+ million on other players. Ohtani wants to win. He's never been in the playoffs and this is his chance.
I'm going to raise an issue here that I'm sure you have thought about. Is this an unfair competitive advantage for the Dodgers? Is it something a commissioner would step in and say, no, this is a direction we don't really want to go?
Well, it's in the CBA that this is completely legal. A player is allowed to defer as much money as he wants to in his contract in any deal. So, I mean, it's actually written language into the collective bargaining agreement. That said, most players would never do this because they want the money now, and rightfully so. But when you're Ohtani and you're making $40, $50 million in endorsements, you probably don't need the Dodgers money to pay your monthly electric bill. So, you know, I think when you look at Ohtani's in a unique situation, now it came out that the Giants offered him the exact same deal with the exact same deferred money and everything. So I think this was a way that Ohtani and his agent came up with to get a number, $700 million, that was eye-popping. We knew he was going to break the record for the biggest baseball contract ever. I don't think anybody, after the Tommy John surgery, anticipated $700 million. But other teams could have done this deal as well. I think this was a way for Ohtani to make sure that he went to the team he wanted to go to. I'm not saying every team could have done this, but there are 10 teams in baseball that could have done this exact same deal without any problem at all.
It's so much money, isn't it?
Yeah, especially once he retires, or maybe not retires.
But it's just 4 years ago that Bryce Harper set a record by getting $330 million. This is more than double that in the blink of an eye.
Well, it is and it isn't. And I think when you look at the $700 million number just stands out as being so absurdly high. But again, the present-day value of the contract, I mean, he's going to be making $2 million a year from now till the end of the contract.
Right.
Then when the contract's over, the Dodgers will be paying him $68 million a year between 2034 and 2043. Now, it's only 10 years from now, and I'm saying, well, $68 million still sounds like a lot of money then, but if they were to take $460 million, which is the present-day value of the contract right now, and invest it, just basic investment, it would turn into $680 million in the 10 years. So he's really getting paid a present-day value of $460. He's just waiting a decade, and it's going to be the money now that, that will be invested will turn into that $680 that he'll get after the contract's over. The other sort of brilliant thing about this, presumably he'll be living back in Japan once he stops playing baseball here. He will not be subject to California state taxes.
Well, that now I asked about million. That. I was under the impression that if you signed the deal in California, that in perpetuity, once you got that money, you were going to be subject to California tax, and you're saying that's not true?
Well, okay, now let me take that back, because I am definitely not an accountant. So,
well, nor am I.
Somebody had told me the opposite.
Okay,
but I will,
well, maybe, but it's out on the table.
It's out on the table.
It's out on the table. Yeah, because I wondered, what I said on PTI yesterday was, look, we're not smart enough to know the tax implications of this, and whether or not by the end of the deal, it's the greatest deal of all time. We're not that smart. We're not even close to that smart. But here's a question I got. What if he can't pitch? Then you're paying a hitter $30 million more than you're paying Aaron Judge.
Yes, I keep going back to it. I keep having to try to sort of like put it in my own head and think of it as a current. The Dodgers right now are basically paying 460 over 10, which is, you know, Judge got 9 for 360.
Yeah.
So you're still paying him more than Judge. I think, you know, there's a bit of a leap of faith here that he's going to be able to come back from this Tommy John surgery, the second Tommy John surgery, and be as good as he was before. If not, you know, if he comes back and it turns out that he can't pitch, then he'll be vastly overpaid. Although, I will say, the money that he brings into a club, the revenue he brings in terms of jersey sales, merchandise sales, sponsorship deals from Japan. I mean, get ready. Dodger Stadium is going to be covered in Japanese next year with sponsorship deals from you know, a number of companies in Japan. So the money that he brings in is probably exponentially higher than the money that any other player brings with them when they join a new club. I mean, Aaron Judge is a great player. The companies that sponsor the Yankees and do the sponsorship deals already did that. So, you know, you were keeping them, but I don't think that, you know, people were going to be taking their billboards off the outfield wall because Aaron Judge left. You know, Ohtani brings with him a bulk of revenue that will help pay for the contract.
Yeah. Your feeling is Ohtani always wanted the Dodgers, right? Always.
That was the one team that, you know, they've made it clear for 2 years that they've been squirreling their nuts with the idea of we're going to pay this guy, and they did. And I think Ohtani loves Southern California. I mean, somebody told me he's building like a $12 million house in Newport Beach. Now, Newport Beach to L.A. For a daily commute, not so great. Certainly better than Newport Beach to Toronto. But I think, you know, Southern California, he's comfortable there. He likes it there. And, you know, the Angels weren't going anywhere to get them to the playoffs. They tried this year. They did their best. At the trade deadline, didn't work out. The Dodgers have won the division 10 of the last 11 years. They're in the playoffs every single year. They've been to the World Series a number of times in that stretch. I just think he wants to win, and if he can get paid, you know, $70 million a year to do it, even better.
Let me get to the $700 million again. And there's a great skill in saying it's not really $700 million. But let's say it is $700 million. And it's so much higher than anything else. A vacuum is created between the next highest contract, Mike Trout's, I believe, and then all the way up to $700 million. What happens with the next set of signees, specifically, I guess, Juan Soto? Can he now expect $600 million, or is this is just stands out there and it's never going to be replicated?
I won't say never, because never is a long time, and I remember, you know, hearing about Kirby Puckett becoming
$3 million.
It was Kirby Puckett was the first $3 million player, and thinking to myself, "Oh my God, that's so much money."
Yeah. Well.
And you know, now like your last guy on your team makes $3 million, so I don't want to say never anytime soon. I don't think so. I think this deal actually will not impact Juan Soto's negotiations at all, as much as Scott Boras might hope that it will. You know, the comps there are still going to be Judge. It's still going to be. The comps are going to be Machado and Harper because of the age that Juan Soto is going to reach free agency at. You know, Harper got 330, Machado got 300 at the time. I think you're looking at Soto's definitely going to leap over 400, assuming that he has a good year with the Yankees this year. Could he get towards 500? I guess so. It depends how competitive the market is for him. I don't think he gets much more than, my guess is 4 to 450 is probably where he lands, because Ohtani is such a different creature. I mean, unless Soto learns how to pitch and goes out and throws 130
yes.
innings this year,
yes.
I don't, and plus, and then what I said before about the marketing opportunities, Juan Soto's a great player, but he's not bringing, you know, $40 or $50 million in revenue with him to a club in terms of, forget ticket sales, forget just sponsorships. And you know, if you can pay for half or more of the contract off of the revenue you're going to bring in just from this guy, that makes it a little easier to swallow. Juan Soto's not going to do that. Aaron Judge didn't do that. Almost no player does that other than Ohtani. You know, Ichiro probably had that kind of effect back in, you know, the early 2000s. But I think this deal will not have any direct correlation on what we see from the next big crop of free agents.
Okay. And by the way, speaking of free agents, are there any free agents still out there unsigned that you want to tell us about?
Yeah, well, the other Japanese player who's been holding up the market, Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Well, he's never played here before, so.
He's never played here before, but he's going to get more money than everybody else. And there are teams lining up right now. This week he's been meeting with, he met with the Yankees, he's meeting with the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Blue Jays. There's a number of teams, the Mets, who seem to be, in most people's eyes, the favorites. Steve Cohen and David Stearns flew to Japan to meet with him. They didn't want to wait for him to get to the United States. So sort of a show of how important he is to them. I expect this is going to wind up as a bidding war between the Yankees and Mets, with the Dodgers sort of lying in wait to see if they can pounce as well. But he's going to go to a big market, and from everything I've heard from people who have seen him pitch up close, he's going to be worth it. Cody Bellinger's still out there. Now that Ohtani is done, he can sort of find a home. Matt Chapman, the third baseman. Blake Snell, the Cy Young Award winner in the National League, who people are just sort of forgetting about completely because he does not have a great history of throwing a lot of innings other than his two Cy Young seasons. So there are still some guys out there, but it felt coming into this like this whole winter was going to be about Ohtani and Juan Soto, and they're both settled.
It's interesting you said that about innings. The birthday today on PTI is Ferguson Jenkins, and there's one year, his Cy Young year, he had 325 innings. Blake Snell, I think, had 180, right? I think that's...
Blake Snell has thrown 180 innings in twice. Each of his two Cy Young awards.
Yeah, that's
180
all.
And I think 180.2. Yeah. Besides those 2 years, he's never thrown more than 129 innings in a season.
Yeah, and Fergie Jenkins and all of those guys, Gibson and Koufax and Palmer and Seaver, they were over 300 innings by September 1st. Every year, right?
Yeah, you just don't see that. I mean, that, if you get guys at 200 innings now
that's
for a season, you're like, wow, that guy's a workhorse.
Yeah,
and,
it's really so different.
You know, it's really staggering to see how pitching has changed. And I think it, you know, it's part to do with the way they're brought up and the way that they're, you know, introduced into the game. And part of it is that the bullpen has become such a specialized thing that, you know, when you've got four or five guys waiting in the bullpen who each throw 100 with nasty splitters and sliders, why are you going to try to stretch out a guy?
Yeah.
You know, and the analytics have shown the third time. So we've gone over this. As Wilbon, he could tell you all about it.
He hates it so much. Hates it so much. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Tony.
Mark Feinsand, boys and girls. We will take a break. Email and jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Somebody should be handing out towels after that because it's so liquid. Jeremy Vint, it's just so great.
Yes. Use that every night before bath time.
Just so great. You want to do the Bethesda for the Bagel kids. Ad for us? But
Bethesda Bagels, we love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop on in and you will be thrilled.
And we're just about done. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say, I may not always love you, but as long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. That's Brian Wilson. A lot of people think that's his masterpiece.
Including
God only knows.
Including someone named Paul McCartney.
Yeah. You know, my favorite song is Don't Worry Baby, but this is a great, great song. Thanks to our guests today, Chuck Todd, Mark Feinsand. Thanks to today's sponsors. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. If you get the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. From Ann Gilpin. Tickled pink to be recognized as the mother of my children. My third child, Harry, a masculine child, also went to Loomis Chafee. He's now in Denver snowboarding and teaching autistic children. Tony may remember me as Ann McDonough when I was in The Foreigner on Broadway, and we failed to meet after the show. I still work. I was in Okavanya this summer in a downtown loft. COVID and the strikes were a complete bummer, but my husband, Jack Gilpin, plays a butler named Church on The Gilded Age. Pray that it gets renewed for a third season. Even though he went to Loomis, I guess it's called Loomis. Loomis. That's how they call it.
Loomis Chafee?
But I guess they just refer to it as Loomis.
Oh, that's what the hip kids do,
yeah,
yes.
Even though he went to Loomis, Ann writes, I lost respect for Saliza years ago. When on your podcast, he didn't know that George III was the king of England during the American
Revolution. As Saliza would say, words hurt.
From Charlie Burtz in Springfield, Virginia, I'm pleased to announce that the Katherine Johnson Middle School Band, the official middle school band of the Tony Kornheiser Show, will be performing the national anthem before the December 26th Washington Wizards game. Please join us at the Capital One Arena as we honor America before enjoying an evening of watching the Orlando Magic drop 180 points or so. If we're really lucky, we'll get a lachiserie from the crowd or maybe even a mention of the show from the announcer. We'll save you a seat, Tony. So look forward to some sweet upper-level action in addition to no need for parking thanks to your spot on the school bus. See you then. And I would do it if I didn't think that it was villainy that Ted Leonsis was going to move the team. And if I could do this, I would tell him for the rest of time, starting tonight, if this announcement is made today, for the rest of time, you can play at George Mason because you're not playing downtown because the arena's closed to you.
Yeah.
If I had that power, I would use that power. It's another one from Charlie Burtz.
Not going to support the Potomac Yards Wizards?
I'm not. They're not. They better not be named Washington.
No. Yeah.
Capitals and the Wizards better
Washington
not.
Washington adjacent?
You know.
What was the ABA Virginia team? Was it the Squires?
Virginia Squires.
Yeah.
But that was in Southern Virginia.
Right.
That really was. It was three different sites in Southern Virginia. Another one from Charlie Burtz. Did the Dodgers bother to use the code? That's funny. From Keith Hall in Fairfax, Virginia. I listened to your conversation with Jeff Passan on Monday's show. Suddenly realized that Mr. Passan was spot on. In 10 years, when Ohtani goes to the Dunkin's in Revere, instead of paying $4.50 for a cup of Joe, it could be spiking upwards to $450,000 for the same cup from 2023. Adding in the 30% tip that will then be recommended, the poor guy will be paying $585,000 for that drink. He may question if he should squander for that $100,000 glazed donut or if he should just be penny-wise instead. By the way, I'm still in awe that professional athletes still get meal money from the teams. Thanks for all that you do.
Per diem.
From Mark Lynch in Canby, Indiana. Are you Benjamin Button? Getting back into the studio periodically, watching your first new movie in years. You're getting younger right before our ears. Next, you'll be flying or watching fireworks from the Smithsonian, or dare I say, covering a Commanders playoff run. I look forward to the years ahead. From Damon in Seattle, Washington. Air was released in the spring and was nominated for a Golden Globe today. I also got this from Chan, and so was Mark Damon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
Yeah. He was nominated, too, apparently. Chance at this.
Well, that's
I'm an
great.
Oregon kid. Damon writes. Damon. So that's how I got that confused, because it's Damon. I'm an Oregon kid, so I enjoyed seeing the Nike story on the big screen. I'd also recommend The Holdovers for you. Everyone says this. The film is set during the 70s at a Boston boarding school. Paul Giamatti portrays a curmudgeon professor dealing with a troubled student. Please ask Ann Hornaday about the film when you have her on. Let me know if you need more movies.
Is Nigel the troubled student?
It feels like I may have been. I just saw the trailer. I cannot wait to watch it. It looks really good. I think you'll...
Don't be late for study hall.
From Wynn Mossman or Wynn Mossman, slug Tony's Nightmare, Pumpkin Ice. From Chad Hogue in Knoxville, Tennessee. Andrew Carton listens to the show one day and has his email read the next day. I knew a guy who listened since faxes were a thing. He's never had an email read. Eat it, Fred Cleland. From Mark Lynch. Canby, Indiana. Is Canby, Indiana becoming a thing here. This is the second one today. Tell Nigel I popped on in and I was thrilled to Bethesda Bagel.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
From Earl Brewer.
Can be.
Hey, Uncle Tony, happy holidays to you and the gang. Just to put a bow on the worst song of all time, I went right to the source of all knowledge, Wikipedia. God, people, don't go to Wikipedia. Please don't.
What can go wrong when you can edit yourself?
It's just a shortcut to disaster yeah. and false facts. Here are some of the songs they list as the worst ever. From the 50s and 60s, Yes, Sir, That's My Baby by Harry Carl and his Six Sippers. Maybe you and Carol danced to his ditty at a sock hop in Garden City. From the 70s and 80s, Having My Baby, Paul Anka. Heard saying the name of that tune, Putrid. From the 90s and 2000, Ice Ice Baby, Vanilla Ice. He eventually had to pay $4 million to the group Queen for not suing him in court. And finally, thank God for the 2010s, Baby by your boy Justin Bieber, that little punk. I think we can all agree on the worst song so far of this decade. Cars for Kids.
Is that K-A-R-S?
Yep. Terrible.
Yep, that definitely takes it.
Earl Brewer is the owner and director of Virginia Elite Lacrosse. Justin Johnson, Arlington, Virginia. I don't know. I really don't mind the Pina Colada song. I mean, again, you can't go to Wikipedia.
No.
You just can't go to Wikipedia.
Not sound.
From Steve Jacoby in Shamokin, Pennsylvania. Shamokin is near Philadelphia, isn't it?
Okay.
Oh, or is it Shamokin is on the way to Binghamton?
Thanks,
sorry. 81. Is it off 81? I was yacht rocking on my commute to work this morning when Brandy by Looking Glass came on. I laughed out loud, found myself singing along to the silly song. Thanks for entertaining us, even in between shows. From Bill Baker in Hinesburg, Vermont. I'm from the generation between you and Michael. Anything by Foreigner, especially Cold as Ice or Jukebox Hero. One does not need Ipecac if you're on the playlist. Ipecac is something you give a dog to induce vomiting. It's yes. when the dog is eating something that can't happen. Ipecac. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always. Do wear white.
Okay, we wound up 5-11. Not very good.
Well, not the worst.
But there was some worse than us. I guess right. that's one positive way to look at it. We weren't the worst team in the league.
It's been a long year, baby. We can use just a little fun. Some setting up a fair there right off of Gallatin. Just tell me, baby, that you still love the Ferris wheel. And I'll get 2 one-way tickets from here back to here. All we need is a night together. I'd sure love to show you. All we need is a night together. Here's my hand, now let's get lost. It's been too long since we've been somewhere nice. You always look so good, glowing. Let's spend too much money on a bottle of wine and be the last ones left at closing time. All we need is a night together. I'd sure love to show you all. All we need is a night together. Here's my hand, now let's get lost. Best part about taking you out's always taking you back home with me. All we need is a night together. I'd sure love to show you all. All we need is a night together. Here's my hand, now let's get lost. All we need is a night together. And I wanna have you to myself.
looking around, finding the photos under the old clothes that we're wearing in the photos. I'm keeping what I want, I'm leaving what I don't. I'll keep you, I'll keep you. I'm keeping what I want, I'm leaving what I don't. I'll keep you, I'll keep you. To our house, I lay our memories out on the table. Let go as much as I am able. I'm keeping what I want, I'm leaving what I don't. I'll keep you, I'll keep you. I'm keeping what I want, I'm leaving what I don't. I'll keep you.